Here we will continue our introductory look at adjustments to profit. If a trader takes an asset which is used in his trade but isn't part of his trading stock, and he then brings it into the business as trading stock, then the cost of the stock for the purpose of the accounts is the market value at the time it was introduced. This may be the case where a property developer has a fixed asset which he uses in his trade, for example a building, and then takes that building as part of his trading stock to be developed. For capital gains tax purposes, the trader will also be deemed to have disposed of the fixed asset to himself at market value, so a capital gain will arise. In this instance, the trader can elect not to have a CGT disposal, but instead to have the cost of the stock reduced by the chargeable gain. This will reduce the gain to nil, but will result in the stock having a lower cost and therefore a higher trading profit when the stock is eventually sold. By way of illustration, Sarah runs a small property development business from an office in St. Albans. The office building cost £100,000 in June 2001. In August 2010, Sarah moved her business to a larger office in Watford and decided to redevelop the St. Albans office in order to sell it to a commercial buyer. The St. Albans office was worth £250,000 in 2010. Sarah has taken a fixed asset used in her business, i.e. the St. Albans office, and has appropriated this to her trading stock. Therefore, 1. She is deemed to have sold the office to herself for its market value of £250,000. This gives her a capital gain of £150,000. And 2. She has bought trading stock for her property development business for £250,000. Alternatively, Sarah can make an election under Section 161 TCGA 1992, in which case, 1. The gain of £150,000 is reduced to nil, and 2. The cost of the stock in her property development business is reduced by £150,000 and will now be £100,000. Given that capital gains are charged at 18% and 28%, and that trading profits are likely to be taxed in the future at 40% and 50%, Sarah may not wish to make the election, but may instead simply pay the CGT on the disposal of the fixed asset. Not all receipts which a trader includes in his business accounts will be taxed as trading income. Traders might include income in their accounts which is not derived from their trade. Typical examples of non-trading incomes are rental income, bank interest, profits on sale of fixed assets, and sundry miscellaneous income. Any non-trading income is deducted in order to arrive at the taxable profit figure. This other income will then be brought back in the main income tax computation and taxed accordingly. In exceptional circumstances, rental income from the letting of surplus business accommodation can be treated as arising from the trade, as opposed to being treated as property income. This will be the case where the premises being let are temporarily surplus to requirements, the let premises are part of a building in which another part is being used in the trade, and the letting receipts are relatively small. The way in which compensation receipts are taxed depends on what the compensation relates to. Any compensation received for damages to or depreciation of an asset is a capital receipt and is not taxed as trading income. Such receipts may be subject to CGT. However, compensation received for the cancellation of a trading contract will generally be taxed as trading income if the contract receipts would themselves have been trading receipts had the contract been completed. We will now have a look at a couple of examples to test your understanding of adjustments to trading profits. Look at the expenses that will appear on your screen. For each item, state whether the expenses are allowable or disallowable for tax purposes. The loss on the sale of the computer is a loss on the sale of a capital asset. This is therefore capital expense and is disallowable. Amortization is another word for depreciation. No relief is therefore available. There are separate rules for the treatment of goodwill by companies, and these will be covered when you look at corporation tax. The purchase of a photocopier is a capital acquisition, and the expense is not allowable. Capital allowances will be given instead. The legal fees are also disallowed as they relate to the acquisition of a capital asset. Similarly, the legal fees on the acquisition of a new lease are also disallowed. It doesn't matter how long the lease is. Contrast this, however, with legal fees on the renewal of a short lease. These expenses are specifically allowable. Repairs to the photocopier are allowable, as they are incurred to put an asset back to its original condition. Wages to the secretary are genuine business expenses and are allowable. Finally, a new suit for work will be disallowed, as essentially we wear clothes for private rather than business purposes. There is no suggestion here that the suit is either protective clothing or an actor's costume, etc. Looking at the information on your screen, calculate the amount to be added to Tony's trading profit. Let's run through the solution. Tony took home some of his trading stock for his personal consumption. We must therefore make an adjustment to the accounts by adding back the retail selling price of the trading stock. The total cost of the stock in the trader's accounts is £40,000. The total sales in the trader's accounts is £100,000. The average markup on cost is therefore 250%. The furniture taken by Tony cost the business £500. As his average markup is 250%, it is therefore fair to assume that stock would normally have been sold to a customer for £500 times 250%, being £1,250. We therefore add this to the account's profit to give a taxable trade profit. On your screen are the accounts of Alicia, who is a self-employed interior designer, for the year ended 30th of June 2010. Calculate Alicia's taxable trading profit for the year. We start with the profit per the accounts of £61,200 and then add back any disallowed expenses. The £3,000 of depreciation is disallowed, and so is the purchase of the new computer, because this is capital expenditure. £5,000 of the wages expense is accrued at the year end, and is not paid until more than 9 months after the end of the accounting period. Therefore, this £5,000 of accrued wages must also be added back. Alicia, the sole trader, uses the car partly for business and partly for private purposes. The business use of the car is 70%, which means that 30% must relate to her private use. 30% of the total motor expenses must therefore be added back because they are not incurred for trade purposes. The accounting loss of £650 is also disallowed for tax purposes. We then deduct any income which is not going to be taxed in Alicia's income tax computation as trading income. The bank deposit interest of £250 needs to be deducted. This will be taxed separately on the face of Alicia's income tax computation. Finally, we deduct the capital allowances on plant and machinery for the period of £4,000, which gives Alicia taxable trading profits for the year of £68,350. That concludes this initial lecture on adjustments to trading profits.